Now, a brand new fifth series of the Netflix original documentary series Inside the World's Toughest Prisons became available last week. The new episodes see presenter Raphael Rowe offer a fascinating glimpse behind the bars of the planet's most dangerous maximum security prisons, this time in Greenland, the Philippines and here in South Africa. At Brandvlei Prison, Rowe meets the boss of the notoriously violent numbers gang who's serving a life term in a Supermax solitary confinement. You may remember that Raphael joined us a few months back to talk about the fourth season of the show. Now, as well as not being a stranger to the show, Raphael is no stranger to being behind bars. He himself was wrongly convicted and jailed for murder in 1990 and fought for 12 years to clear his name and eventually had his convictions quashed. And I'm delighted to say that Raphael joins us on the line from the UK to tell us about his new series and his insights from his time at Brandvlei. Raphael, welcome back to Cape Talk. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Lovely to have you back with us. Now, since we first spoke a few years back, I've been asking you, when are you coming to South Africa? When are you coming to South Africa? And here you are. One of the episodes in the new series of Inside the World's Toughest Prisons is at Brandvlei Prison in Worcester. Was this your first trip out here to South Africa?
It wasn't my first trip to South Africa, no. I've been to Joburg, Pretoria, I've been to Cape Town before on holiday and for work. So no, it wasn't my first trip to South Africa, but it's definitely my first trip to a prison in South Africa.
Did you have in mind anything that you might expect? I mean, you yourself, obviously, we know the background to your story, which you've spoken about a couple of times. You were in prison for a very, very long time. You're now on the fifth season of Inside the World's Toughest Prisons. You know prisons, but did you have any expectations, any idea of what might greet you when you arrived at Brandvlei?
You know, the number gangs has a notorious international reputation, and so I was both fearful and excited to go and explore what this was about, because I know and had read about the legend of how the number gang kind of originated, and that in itself is fascinating. But to think that it's still reverberates around prisoners and individuals in prisons is astonishing, really. You know, you think people would have broken this legend down and all its secrecy and all its rituals and codes would have been unpicked to the extent that guys wouldn't follow it. And I still, and although, you know, when I was coming to South Africa, I was slightly hesitant about what to expect. I did not for one minute expect it to be as overt as it was when I walked into that prison and into the sort of maximum security prison section that I went to, where everybody there had a number 26, 27 and 28 stamped on their body in some sort of amateur tattoo in many shapes and forms. I was genuinely shocked, and that's not even getting to the point where they intimidated me when I went through the initiation process as a Franz.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, because that was extraordinary. You were essentially robbed of your tackies, of your trainers, when you went into the cell, and I was sitting there watching with my partner, and I was saying, you know, is this for real? Are they for real doing this? He's got a background in that area, and he's quite familiar with that. And he was saying, no, I think this is for real. Was that for the cameras? Was it purely an intimidation technique? Because it looked like it worked. You looked quite frightened.
I was frightened, Jane. Listen, nothing is for the cameras. I mean, obviously we're filming this, so everything is caught on camera. But there is nothing staged, nothing scripted. When I walked into that cell with those guys, they'd not met me before. I'd not met them before. They knew nothing about me. I knew nothing about them, other than they knew that a journalist or a presenter was coming into the prison. They didn't probably even know that I was going to be allocated to their cell. So when I walked into that cell and you saw the fear on my face, that was genuine. The way they reacted, I can't say 100% that's what they do to any prisoner that comes in there. But I suspect, you know, given the way that they handled me, they do. That is what they do. I mean, they have their own language. They have their way of indoctrinating a prisoner into their cell, which is probably why so many prisoners end up becoming part of the number gangs. Because if anybody went through that experience that I went through, I bet you within days, unless they have the money like Jason did in the other place, unless they have the money, they would have to become a number gang. I was frightened. I genuinely was intimidated. I mean, I stood my ground and I've been in those situations in real life. And so I could look them in the eye and I succumbed to their demands. I didn't challenge. But you notice every little time I made a little sly remark, okay, like, I'm not happy, but you can take them. I was laying the ground down. And so I'm pleased to say that, you know, a couple of days later, I did get my techies back because I won them over with my, you know, questioning and talking of the guy. So, yeah, no, that moment was genuine, as is every moment.
Now, see, this is what was so interesting to me. And this is why I think nobody else could ever host this show, is because the fact that it was real and the fact that the next day you were able to, you were picking up on things from inmates there that I, as just a viewer and somebody who's never been to prison, hadn't picked up on. You were picking up on certain moods, perhaps, that this inmate was feeling or that inmate was feeling. And you essentially ingratiate, I don't know if that's even the right term, you find a level where you are then able to speak to these guys on the level, and that's really where, for me, the magic of the show happens, and that we really find out more about these guys and about the prison. 5 years ago, there was a riot at Branfleth and an inmate died, and a subsequent study into that incident suggested that it was sparked by the need of an outsider to prove himself. How evident was that in your time there, both how outsiders are viewed and also the sense that new inmates need to prove themselves, they need to eventually become allied to the number?
I don't think they have a choice. I don't think individuals who go into that prison have a choice. You either become one or you become a victim. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you get killed. It might not be as extreme as that, but you do become their go-for, their slave, their person who does all their chores. And eventually, you know, you will succumb to their demand to become a number, because as they said to me from the beginning, you either do what we say or you become one of us and you're left alone. The incident you refer to, you know, I spoke to Curtis, one of the sort of high-ranking 28, who now has to take the blood of a guard, and he's terrified. Yeah. As much as he has risen through the ranks, as you will see in the show, he now has to react to what happened in that incident you talk about 5 years ago. I, you know, what the guys are aware of and what the evidence shows is probably two different things, but the fact remains that the individual that died was a 28, and that means in the code of the numbers, they have to take the blood of a guard in retaliation. You know, that's a whole nother story. But I don't think anybody who ends up in that prison or any other South African prison where the number gangs are prominent, they have much choice, unless, like in the slightly less max where I went for a day, they have the means. And by the means, I mean the financial means and the education to articulate their way out of trouble. And I think that's how I would have navigated not becoming a number. I would have been able to. And the other thing I should point out here, you know, I spent 7 days with these guys. So what you see in an hour can take 2 or 3 days of negotiation. There were one or two guys in that cell that would not talk to me for 2 days. Wow. And he was an high ranking. And in the end, he was the most talkative at one point. When we started playing that game on the table, and he started to tell me that, you know, he was a 5-star ranked. He wouldn't talk to me for 2 days, but slowly but surely he came down, you know, in his very gracious way. And he said to me, I've been watching you for 2 days and I like the way that you operate. I feel what you feel because you feel what we feel. And why do I? Because I've been in that situation. And so he felt comfortable talking to me because he realized I wasn't there to sensationalize the numbers. I wasn't there to degrade these individuals. I was there to explore what it's like as an individual and then to branch out into what the numbers mean. Why can't they break free of this cycle of destruction, et cetera, et cetera? So it's not a matter of hours. It's days of negotiation and embedding myself with these guys to get at the heart of what I really want to get at the heart of.
A few weeks ago on the show, I spoke to a former number gang member who has transformed his life, and he now works in Johannesburg doing work in the community, working with youth, and essentially being, you know, a completely different person. And when I asked him how it was that he managed to escape the number gang, what he said really stuck with me. And he said, you know what, SJ, it wasn't my choice. I had to go to them them and ask them, can I leave? And the only reason that he was allowed to leave, and he was quite a high-ranking member of the 27s, was that he had taught one of the other 27s to read. And on that basis, that was the only basis, he said to me that today he is out of the gang, out of the gangs, and lives that different life. You also spoke to a guy at the slightly the less high security, terrible. You were out in the fields, and he spoke about, you know, he's now been saved. He's a Christian, and he wants to change his life. I felt desperately sorry for him. What, when you came face to face with him, there seemed to be an innate sadness in him.
You know, and you're not the only one. I've had messages from people all over the world who have asked me whether he was able to escape the numbers and whether he was able to leave. But do you notice, and I think it's the point you've just made, at one point during the conversation, and that conversation, you know, he and I were sort of picking carrots for hours, and we got talking about many different things. And obviously these have to be cut down into sound bites enough for people to get a sense. But, you know, we were talking for hours pulling carrots, and he desperately wanted to leave the number gangs. He said he turned his life around and that he wanted to get out and do something. But then he stopped talking to me, so I can't talk about it anymore. And I think that's evident that he can't just leave. And I think the more that he started to say he wanted to leave, he probably realised that this was going to be broadcast, although he's clearly aware of the fact and we get his consent, etc. But he'd probably become more aware that more people would become aware and he'd become threatened. But I believe that he is somebody, like many of these guys who I spoke to on and off camera, who want to leave, but they can't leave. There's just too many of them. I think it's shocking that they are trapped in this way. So it's encouraging to know that they can leave and that, you know, there are paths to redemption, if you like, and change. And the person you spoke to, who you mentioned, has obviously achieved that. And I'd like to think that many others, they could. They couldn't whilst they're in prison. There's no question. There's just too many of them. And I hesitate to say they're too ignorant and undereducated in order to understand that what they're trapped in, you know, not just the markings of them by the tattoos they carry that will stigmatise them forevermore, but it really does come down to their ignorance and lack of education. And I do believe that when those guys learn to read and understand what they're involved in, they may change their perception.
Yeah. Listen, I really enjoyed it. Again, I was so pleased that you came to South Africa, because I always wanted to find out and see you inside a South African prison, and it's really gripping viewing. Before we let you go, you've written a book, Notorious. Quickly tell us about that.
Notorious is sort of my life, and it came about because of public demand. You know, I never thought about writing a book, although I have
Didn't
a story,
you?
But people
that really
ask
surprises me.
I never did. I've never wanted to sort of, you know, it's not about me. I've had my story, if you like. So sure. I never really wanted to write a book. But the Netflix series on an international level has generated a demand. And I thought, OK, I will tell people what I was like before I went to prison, what my life was like inside prison, and how I become a success when I left prison, in order to inspire, but also to inform people that, you know, you can come from one place and end up in another place, whatever your journey is in between. You can make something of it, whatever those circumstances. So that's why I wrote the book Notorious. And you know, there is a clever little not I in there talking about the fact that I was wrongly convicted. So, yeah, it's a potted history, really, of what I was like as a young man living on a council estate in the United Kingdom in London, and how I ended up getting wrongfully arrested and incarcerated, and how I fought long and hard to win back my freedom, having been wrongfully imprisoned, and how I went on to become a successful journalist and now the host of this Netflix series that you and I are talking about.
One of the questions that somebody sent in the last time you were on the show, and we'd said goodbye to you, and then we got the message in, and one of the questions was, why does he spend so much, you know, as somebody who is a lifer, why would you spend so much time back inside? And you said in an interview recently that every day something reminds you of prison. So I also add my voice to that question. What compels you to spend so much time back inside prisons?
The perception of the public about what prison is really like and what prisoners are really like is misguided, I think, by politicians and people who have an vested interest, if you like, you know, in America, for example, with the gravy train, etc. I want to change people's perceptions. And as challenging as it is, as frightening as it can be, as dangerous as it is, I know the reality, and I want to share some of that reality with the public. And it's working because it is changing people's perceptions. You know, prison shows and prisons, people want to see the sensational, glorified, dangerous animals that they like to think they are because of what they read in the paper. And that's not me playing down the fact that a number of prisoners are deemed to be very, you know, monetaristic, if you like. But the majority are undereducated, come from deprived areas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not making excuses for them. But the key to why I go into prisons, despite the fact I spent many years trying to get out, is because I want to change the public's perception about what prisons are for in terms of rehabilitation, punishment, and security. And I hope by changing the public's perceptions, they will put more pressure on politicians to add, you know, more resources, if you like, so that guys like these guys caught up in South Africa's number gangs can be educated and steered away from a life of crime when they come out of prison.
Season 5 of Inside the World's Toughest Prisons is available now on Netflix. You can also get hold of Raphael's book Notorious on Amazon. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Raphael. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for watching the show. Brilliant. Thank you.